In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Morning, everyone. Good to see you all on this nice, bright, sunny morning. It's good to see the sun for the first time in a long time, this nice, bright, sunny morning. 4 years ago, I told a sermon at my Christmas Eve service. I'm sure you all remember it really well. And in case you don't, I typically don't like repeating myself, but I feel like every 4 years is safe. So the story is appropriate for this morning, too. It involves my Uncle Charlie, which I've preached about a few times. He had a lot of lessons that he taught me as a kid that ought to go into a book someday. But when I was 11 years old, he took me deer hunting for the first time. And I was really excited to go, something I'd always wanted to do, to be able to spend the weekend with him and just the two of us and out in the wilderness would be a lot of fun. So what I didn't know is exactly what this would entail. So we drove all the way out into the wilderness, into the woods of South Alabama. We kept going farther and farther away from civilization. You know, we passed the last dirt road, we passed the last gas station, we passed the last house, and just kind of kept going farther and farther into the woods. And then finally we pull up to this little tree stand, and he drops me off. This is before dark, or before sunrise, so it's still dark outside. And he hands me my sandwich and my Coca-Cola and some snacks for the day, and he says, "I'll be back right after the sun goes down." It wasn't until this morning that I was preaching this that I realized this was just brilliant childcare. It's funny, it takes you some time to pick up on things. So anyway, off he went, and the car drove by, and I could, you know, eventually see the headlights fading, and then I could hear the hum of the engine get softer and softer and softer until I was all by myself. But about that time, the sun started to come up. It was a beautiful morning. You could hear the birds chirping. It was actually kind of special, and I thought how cool it is to be an 11-year-old out here all by myself. I felt confident and strong and felt like a big kid. And that sense lasted until the sun started to go down. And at the end of the day, after 11 or 12 hours of being outside all by myself, I was beginning to really yearn for another human being to talk to. And the sun kept going farther and farther down. And it kept getting darker and darker. And he promised me he would be back right after the sun went down. And I thought, well, what does that mean? Because it looks pretty dark out here. And then it got really dark. And then I got scared. And the one thing that he told me before he left was, don't leave where you are. Just stay put. But when you're 11, and you're in the wilderness all by yourself, and the sun goes down, you start thinking of every possible thing that could have gone wrong. He got hurt. Something happened. His car got stuck. He doesn't love me as much as I thought he did. This is some kind of bad hazing ritual. What is going on? All these things. And finally, I think, well, I've got to just start walking. So I got out and I did the one thing he told me not to do. I started walking down the road, kept going farther and farther until I probably got about 200 feet away from where I started. And then the worst thing that could have possibly happened. My flashlight died. And in the middle of the wilderness, at night, I can tell you that every squirrel sounds like a wild beast, just like what Jesus was wrestling with. Every armadillo sounds like a grizzly bear, which don't exist in South Alabama, but I believe in my mind at that point that they did and that they were right next to me. And right about the time that I just kind of sat down by a tree to probably start crying and think I'm out here all by myself and I'm never going to get out of this wilderness and I'm never going to see the sunrise again, about that time, I started to hear the hum of the engine, and I started to see the headlights coming through the woods. And all of a sudden, he pulled up next to me, and I hopped in the truck, and he said, "Well, how was it?" And I said, "Great." I don't think I ever told him the truth of how absolutely terrified I was. So today is the first Sunday in Lent. Lent is a time that we intentionally throw ourselves into the wilderness, just like it sounds that Jesus did in this gospel lesson. If the gospel lesson that you've heard today sounds familiar, it ought to. This is the fourth time we've heard it in 9 weeks. I guess whoever wrote the lectionary wanted to really drill this one into us. We've heard it on the baptism of Jesus. We've celebrated the baptism. We've celebrated Jesus walking into town at the end of the wilderness, proclaiming that the kingdom of God has finally come near, and to repent and to share in the good news of Jesus. But today is the day that we focus on the wilderness. You can imagine what a high it must have been for Jesus at his baptism. Here he is, he goes out to the River Jordan, John dunks him in the water, and as he comes out from being fully immersed in that river, the voice of God cries out from the sky and says, "Jesus, you are my son, my beloved, with you I am well pleased." Imagine how good that must have felt. But Mark tells us that immediately Jesus was driven into the wilderness. And the word that Mark uses there is almost one, it's not almost, it is a word of force. As Jesus was shoved in the wilderness, pushed into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. A long time. Mark tells us that there in the wilderness he was tempted by Satan. And he was surrounded by the wild beasts, and yet the angels waited on him. And it was only after that 40 days in the wilderness that he could come out and proclaim that God was here. The kingdom of God has come near. There are wonderful stories about the wilderness in the Bible. Most often, people are thrown into the wilderness just like Jesus was. The Israelites found themselves in the wilderness for 40 years. One of the best stories in the whole Old Testament is Elijah's 40 days in the wilderness. And here is Jesus. But it's only after that, even after hearing the voice of God cry out to him at his baptism, it's only after he could be out there by himself, alone, surrounded by the wild beasts, surrounded by temptation, that he could fully experience the closeness in the presence of God. Have any of you ever found yourself in the wilderness? Sometimes, like in the season of Lent, the wilderness is somewhere that we go to voluntarily. Sometimes wilderness can be beautiful. If you've ever gone camping, or if you've ever gone backcountry snow skiing or fishing or hiking, you know there's something beautiful about it. But when you're there all by yourself for a long time, sometimes when you're thrust into it, the wilderness is the one place above any that you would rather not be. The wilderness for us is that place where we are afraid, where we feel all alone, where we feel like we've been abandoned by one another, by the world, by God. Sometimes the wilderness is what we would call rock bottom. Do you know that feeling? Have you ever been there? Maybe you're there now. The season of Lent is a time when we put ourselves in that place, so that we can find the presence of God. One of those things that we do in the season of Lent is give stuff up. If you were here on Ash Wednesday, you would have heard my other sermon where I talked about how we give up those little creature comforts in life, whether it's, chocolate or cake or your favorite food or your favorite TV show. Or you might even go all crazy and say, "I'm giving up TV altogether," once the Olympics are over. We give that stuff up so that we can make a little room for God to come in. We give up the creature comforts so that we make room for the Holy One who gives us comfort beyond measure. And again, sometimes we're thrown into that wilderness beyond our control. This week, we've heard news of another school shooting in our country again. Another occasion of mass loss and mass sadness again. It's the reminder that sometimes we are thrown into that wilderness, whether we like it or not. And sometimes in the wilderness, it feels like all is lost. And sometimes in the wilderness, it feels like you're never going to see civilization or light or goodness or joy again. But it's only that time in the wilderness that helps us to find the God who is right here present with us in the midst of it. Lent is about throwing us into the wilderness so that we can recognize the joy that comes at the end. The wilderness is not indefinite. The wilderness is not forever. For us, the wilderness, just like for Jesus, is finite. It's 40 days of liturgical wilderness, where at the end we come out at the cross and eventually at the empty tomb. We walk ourselves into this so that at the end, when we look to the cross and see the sacrifice of Jesus, we can fully see, having emptied ourselves of those creature comforts, having opened ourselves to the will of God and to the presence of God around us, we can see that sometimes when we think that Jesus isn't present, sometimes when we think we're all alone and God has left us, the reminder of Jesus on the cross is a God who suffers with us, is a God who walks in the wilderness with us, is a God who is right here in the midst of it with us, as Jesus was and as Jesus showed us fully on the cross. And on that Easter morning, we celebrate the God who redeems our sadnesses and our losses and lifts us up out of that rock bottom, eventually into a peace that surpasses all of our understanding, all that we could have hoped for before. In the season of Lent, I invite you to walk together in that wilderness. We may empty ourselves, that we may have the courage to see the light of hope that awaits us on the other side, in the death and the resurrection, on Good Friday, and on the bliss of Easter morning, that we may celebrate it fully together. Amen.